Hello, and welcome to What is Innovation? The podcast that explores the reality of a word that is in danger of losing its meaning altogether. This podcast is produced by Outlast Consulting, LLC, a boutique consultancy that helps companies use innovation principles to solve their toughest business problems. I'm your host, Jared Simmons, and I'm so excited to have Marcus Sheridan. Marcus Sheridan is a digital sales and marketing pioneer. He is an international keynote speaker with a unique ability to excite, engage, and motivate live audiences. He also works with hundreds of businesses, helping them to become the most trusted voice in their industry. Marcus has been featured in multiple industry publications, including the New York Times, which featured Marcus as a web marketing guru, and Forbes, which named Marcus one of 20 speakers you don't want to miss in 2017. He is the author of They Ask, You Answer, and The Visual Sale, How to Use Video to Explode Sales, Drive Marketing, and Grow Your Business in a Virtual World. Marcus, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Jared, my man, I'm glad to be here. We're going to have a good conversation.
I don't doubt that. I have a good feeling about it. Let's dive right in. You know, I like to start every show with the first question, the only question: what is innovation?
To me, it's anything that is new or improved that helps.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. It's new or improved that helps. Person, place, thing, idea, just go down the gamut.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me, what isn't innovation?
Well, you know what? That to me is the interesting one. And to me, what innovation is not is a regurgitation that doesn't make life better for someone or something.
When you say regurgitation, tell me more about that.
Well, there's a difference between regurgitating in a way that's not helpful versus saying something in a way where, although it may seem like the same idea, you said it in a way that the light bulbs finally came on for everyone else. And let me give you a perfect case in point. A lot of people have heard of Simon Sinek, Start With Why. And Simon, here's what's funny. This is a dude that is getting paid probably at this point now $100,000 per speech.
Wow.
And he did one of the top 10 TED Talks of all time. He talked about this golden circle.
Mm.
And inside that golden circle, there was why. And it's the what, the how, and the why. And what he did, he explained something that inherently everybody knows in a way, though, that everybody could understand it.
Mm.
So he helped the situation. So it wasn't a straight regurgitation because he put his stamp on what was just basic human psychology and human needs, in this case, in the workplace, so as to move your team to want to be a part of something bigger or special. But he didn't invent anything different.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I've written a couple books. This stuff that I say has been said before. I just happen to say it in a way that makes everybody say, dang, that makes so much sense.
Mm.
Why are we not doing that? It's viewed as innovative. It's not new, but it improves.
Mm-hmm.
It helps. It makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it innovative.
I see. And, you know, I think you and I think we were talking before we started recording about, you know, we come from sort of different perspectives on innovation. I grew up designing, building, developing things, marketers, salespeople, and went off and marketed and sold. The common thread, I think, between what you're describing and the way I grew up in the world of innovation is the separation between invention and innovation.
Mm, I like that.
And you don't have to invent something to be innovative.
Great point. And the problem is a lot of people think you do, Jared, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they think, like, I've got to have that new technology.
Right.
I've got to have that new software. It's like, okay, let's look at Amazon. Is Amazon innovative? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Changed the world. What did they invent? Jack squat. Not a dang thing.
Yeah.
What Amazon did is they said, oh, guess what? You can return it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'll send it to you really fast. That's not new. That's not new. So they invent squat.
Yeah.
Oh, good service. You tell me no one else has good service? Not new. Innovative? Yes.
Mm.
Absolutely. Because they made life easier for people. Very, very innovative. And that's the thing that people have to understand. When you get rid of obstacles or frustrations that people have, suddenly you become very, very innovative.
Right.
You don't have to invent a dang thing.
Interesting.
That's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's almost about solving a new problem. You know, when you're talking about new and different, if you're solving a new problem, it doesn't have to be a new solution. The solution doesn't have to be new in and of itself. But when people feel like you're now solving a problem that hasn't been solved before for them, I feel like that's sort of when things get labeled innovative and new and different.
That's right. And that's why, to me, when it comes to, you know, people say, well, how do we become more of an innovative company, right? Because everybody likes to throw that, that around. To me, it starts with a singular obsession, which is, what are the questions, worries, fears, frustrations, etc., of your customers, of your buyers? If you tap into those, unlimited. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, okay? It's just a simple one from a, call it, sales and marketing standpoint here, Jarrett, right? So for anybody that's ever read my book, you know that I started off as a pool guy. In fact, I own a swimming pool company. It went on to become one of the largest swimming pool companies in the world, right? We became a manufacturer of fiberglass pools, and we have dealers and franchisees all over the country. Now, we've done a lot of stuff that was considered really innovative, but we didn't invent squat. Now, one of the things that we did that was very innovative was we were the first manufacturer to come up with a pricing calculator for our website. Now, let's say, Jared, you're just thinking about a swimming pool, right?
Yeah.
All right. I think I might want to get an in-ground swimming pool. And you go online, you're like, man, freak, man, it's hard to get some pricing around here. What, like, how much is it? And everybody wants to know how much it is. Now, in my case, in the fiberglass swimming pool world, we're a manufacturer, and then there's dealers. So as the manufacturer, we price the shell, but the dealer ultimately dictates the prices. So what do all the manufacturers say? Oh, we can't dictate the pricing. Well, can you talk about it? Yes. But the problem is most manufacturers in each space are like, ain't nothing we can do about pricing. We don't set the pricing. Bull crap. You can do a lot about it. You can talk a lot about it.
Huh.
And so what we did is, if you go to the website right now, you can build and price your pool. And so you're going to choose which shape you want. You're going to choose different options that you want. And at the end, we're going to give you a price range, not an exact price, a price range. Now, by doing that, though, what have we done? We've given you more than 99% of the other manufacturers in our space, because nobody does it.
I see.
And of course, what has it become? A literal lead magnet, a cash cow. I mean, I can get over 100 bona fide leads a day that fill that out, because finally somebody was willing to give them what they want, which goes back to the questions, worries, fears, concerns, frustrations that your prospects, that your customers, that your audience has.
That's brilliant, because it also establishes an anchor, right? As long as I don't know how much a pool costs, I assume that a pool is an expensive thing that I can't afford.
That's right. And when it comes to the world in which we live today, the information age, ignorance is not bliss.
Mm-mm.
We do not like to be uninformed.
Nope.
In fact, if we feel uninformed, that leads to inertia. And inertia leads to not making decisions. So the whole point of doing anything that's innovative is that we make things, life in general, easier, better.
Mm.
And so that's why, again, though, you can't say to somebody, go be innovative, and they'll be innovative.
Right.
You say to someone, I want you to get to know your freaking customer so well that you know every thought, you know every frustration. You know what just makes them say, I'm sick and tired of, and you listen in on that. And if you listen in on those problems so well, suddenly you're going to be flooded with ideas, things that you could be talking about, things that you could be developing, things that you could be doing. And remember, most innovation that's happening today is not, to your point earlier, Jerry, which is so well made, is not inventing something tangible and new.
Mm.
Most innovation happens in the way we sell it, or the way we show it, or the way we explain it,
right,
or the way we deliver it, but not the thing itself.
Mm. So your pools use similar technology to other folks?
Man, they're the same. It's the same glass particles and resin particles.
Right.
Now, speaking of that, I'm glad you bring it up, Jared, because mm-hmm. I like to think that the restaurant, and this will be the first time anybody's ever said this on your show, the restaurant Subway is one of the most innovative companies in the world.
Yep, that's a first.
Okay. You're like, what the heck? You know, I mean, we all go to Subway, but we don't necessarily love Subway. We go there because it's easier. Da, 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 da. But Subway did something that really, really changed our world. And that is this. They made it in front of you.
Mm.
They were the first ones that really made it in front of you and allowed you to guide the process. Now, somebody might say, well, my New York deli does. No, no, no. I'm talking at scale here.
At scale. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
At scale.
Yep.
They're the first ones that said, let me do this in front of you. McDonald's didn't do it in front of you.
Right?
These other fast food places, they didn't do it in front of you. And from that, what do we see today? You see all these open kitchen models. It started actually with freaking Subway, mm-hmm. of all places, right? Now, how did I get off on that tangent? Well, oftentimes, just being willing to show how you do something makes you innovative, makes you very different, establishes a new trend. So in our case, as a fiberglass pool manufacturer, what did we do? Well, what we did is we created a series of videos that were 8 videos on average, 10 minutes long. So 80 total minutes here.
Wow.
Showing you our entire manufacturing process. Like if you wanted to start manufacturing your own fiberglass pools tomorrow and you had enough money to do it, you're like, here's my guide. Here's how I do it.
Wow.
But here's what's happened as a byproduct of it. Of course, has anybody else done this in the space? No. In fact, all the manufacturers said to me, why are you doing this? And I'm thinking to myself, why are you not, ding dong? Because they want to see the sandwich made in front of them. In fact, we've had dozens of potential dealers reach out to us over the last few years. And they've said, yeah, I had this homeowner come to me and they said they wanted a pool. And they asked me, do you have a river pool? And we said, no, we don't have a river pool. And they said, well, sorry, I can't get the pool from you because I only want a river pool. And they're like, why do you only want a river pool? Our pool's good too. And they're like, river is the only one that shows exactly how they make the thing.
Oh, wow. And you hear that from dealers?
All the time. And they're really frustrated.
Amazing.
Because it puts them in a situation of, daggone it, if I want to earn this sale,
yep.
This is why I have no sales reps.
Yep.
I have zero sales reps that go out and acquire new dealers because my sales rep is the homeowner that is addicted to the information in the clarity and the transparency that they've gotten from us that they couldn't get from anybody else, making us a very innovative company. Something else that makes you innovative, just calling it something. Literally, Golden Circle, Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
That's simplified. Call it something. Constantly, people come to me with good ideas, right? Just good stuff. Good stuff they might be doing with their branding, with their business, whatever that thing is. I said, what's the name? What doesn't really have a name? I said, you got nothing until you got a name. Because until you got a name, you can't tell a story.
Mm.
And until you have a story, you don't have a brand. So you got to be able to tell a story. You have a story. You got to be able to have a name because the name makes it easy to tell the story.
Mm. Right, right. And it anchors the story. It gives the listener an anchor.
That's it.
To sort of connect to in listening to that story. I'm just processing all of that. And the concept of transparency as a vehicle for innovation is just, that's just brilliant. It's so crisp and it's so true. And I would never, ever have connected it to Subway. So,
yeah.
But
it's like, right.
You might be right.
But that's really where the trend
started. Right.
When you think back and it's like, wow, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, 30 years ago. So we started doing it very, very differently. They gave us control. And that's actually something which is another, again, let me give you another just glorious case study of innovation, one that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So most people that are listening to this have probably heard of CarMax. CarMax is the largest retailer of used cars in the world today. Now, has CarMax invented anything? No, they sell used cars. Thus, you don't invent anything as CarMax.
Right.
What did they do? What they did is they said when they were starting their business, okay, first of all, our industry screwed up. Nobody trusts us. Why does nobody trust us? So, well, there's fundamental things wrong with the industry. Remember what we said, Jared? Questions, worries, fears, frustrations, et cetera, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are the fears, frustrations, et cetera? Okay. Well, they found out that most people don't actually like to haggle. They think haggling sucks. Negotiating the carve price sucks. They don't like it. It actually plants more seeds of doubt than helps in the majority of cases, right? So most people don't like that. Other major fear, people are afraid of buying a lemon. It's like, I don't want to buy a lemon. Other major fear is, what if I don't like the car? What if I have buyer's remorse? So those are the major fears.
Right.
I don't want to haggle. I don't want to buy a lemon. I don't want to have buyer's remorse. So they said, okay, is it possible to address each one of these things? So what do? They come up with this glorious, like 160-point inspection system that everybody claims to have. But the difference is, when you walk into CarMax, and they say, are you familiar with CarMax? And you say, no, I've never been here before. And they say, well, let me show you the process by which those cars that you see outside qualify to be on that lot. And then they literally show you the inspection process and how it works. So now you have a relationship with it that's very different.
Oh, right, right.
Also, they were the first major used car retailer to have haggle-free pricing. Price is the price. Come in with a dollar less, you're not getting the car that day. Okay, it doesn't matter. Price is the price. But they eliminated this whole idea of, oh, I need to go talk to the manager. Let me see what I can do. Right. And because guess what? It tends to be that most women are making that decision in couples, and most women hate negotiating. So voila, now all of a sudden, trust is increased through the transparency. And then finally, you've got the three-day money-back guarantee, which was crazy at the time.
That is.
Yeah. Every competitor said, people are going to buy the car on a Friday night, go on joyrides on Saturday, and bring it back on Sunday. CarMax said, I don't care. Because what we're trying to do is overcome the fears of our buyers. And they became so innovative by overcoming fear and not inventing a single thing. They did stuff that anybody could have done if they had ears to hear and eyes to see. That's innovation.
Wow. That is a great example on so many levels. I really love the element of almost implied trust of their consumer, you know, especially with the three-day return. It's, you know, the fear-based approach from the broader industry of, I can't let you drive this car. I can't let you take it through your normal routines.
You take it off a lot, it's yours. Remember that, Jared? Take it off a lot, it's yours.
Yep.
I love doing this with businesses. I love sitting down saying, okay, what are the biggest fears people have when they're buying your stuff? Biggest questions or worries, fears. Make them write it down. And then we'll do a simple activity, step two, which is, would it be possible to overcome each one? And if we had to overcome, if we were forced to overcome this, like if a fear didn't exist, what would the solution be? And here's what's cool. When you're forced to answer that question, in other words, it's easy to say, there's no way we could overcome that. Yeah, but if you had to, what would you do? If you had to, suddenly you have to think in terms of solutions versus why you can't. Now it's why you can. And by doing this, you look at it as like, you know what? Maybe we could do that. Or maybe we could at least overcome it 80% of the way.
Right.
Because is it possible that you still get a lemon at CarMax? Yes. But they've overcome 80% of it by having this very robust inspection process that they use, that they show, and therefore they've eliminated a lot of those lemons from the picture.
Mm. The transactional trust kind of back and forth between each side in that is huge. And when you talk about sort of eliminating fears, addressing those things, and that mindset of what if you had to, it reminds me of a concept we used in consulting, or use in consulting, we still use it in our practice today, is what would have to be true.
I love that phrase. Yes.
Again, not invented, not some new and novel thing to say, but bringing that into the conversation, as you said, in these moments of innovation, really kind of unlocks a new set of possibilities. It also, I think, forces people, and let me know if you've seen this in your workshops and things, but I think it forces people to say out loud the silly things that are holding them back, you know, to deal with those things on paper or in front of themselves. You know, okay, well, you know, if you push past your fears, what would this look like? Okay, then you have to look back and go, okay, well, what was I really afraid of?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's a beautiful thing. You know, this whole conversation that we're having about transparency and overcoming fears, Yeah, this is really my obsession, man. Mm. That's why I love sales. That's why I love marketing. That's why I love communication. What we're talking about, I write a ton about it in my book, They Ask, You Answer, which is just essentially, it's a book in our terms here.
Sure.
How you innovate your sales and marketing simply by obsessing over your customers' questions, worries, fears, concerns, issues. One last quick example here, because you mentioned consultant, made me think of something. One of the most innovative things any business could do that's listening to this right now is you can explain clearly cost, price, et cetera, of your product or your service on your website right now.
Mm.
99% of service-based businesses don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Why? Because they want you to call and they want to talk about it. Now, you don't want to call, and you certainly, as the buyer, you don't want surprises. You want somebody to give it to you straight, to explain the thing. And so every company, every person, let's say a consultant even, is listening to this right now. Most of the time, consultants never give their pricing. They never give their rates. But here's what you could do at a bare minimum. Teach the marketplace. What drives costs up for, let's say, consultants or manufacturers or anybody for that matter? What keeps costs down? Why are some companies so expensive? Why are some other companies so cheap? And simply by addressing those four things, what drives costs up? What keeps costs down? Why are some companies expensive? Why are some companies cheap? Now, all of a sudden, you've communicated and taught your marketplace, your customer, potential customer, something that probably none of your competitors have talked about, which makes you viewed as very innovative.
Mm.
You've helped them. You've made the process easier,
mm.
process of buying that thing.
Got it. I feel like I'm getting free coaching here. So thank you for that.
Right? Right?
Of course.
Everybody
of course.
Wins. All yeah. boats rise.
Yeah. Now, as we're getting into talking about businesses and services and those things, talk to me about business to business versus business to consumer.
Man, you had to go there, didn't you?
I did.
You know, one of the things that just grates my soul is, and I had to deal with this early on as a speaker. You know, mm-hmm. I speak professionally. I've given almost 1,000 presentations around the world.
Wow.
And when I first started speaking, like 11 years ago, I'd have people come up to me at the end and they'd say, this was really cool, Marcus, but we're a service-based business.
Yep.
I don't know if this would apply to me and my customers.
Yep.
I'm like, hey, interesting. Your customer's human too? So here's the thing about this. All right. And this is why you always want to start with the principle of the thing. So like what we've been talking about are really two main principles, transparency and trust.
Sure.
And so if I said to you or anybody, is transparency and trust going to be important to your success as a business in 20 years? 99 out of 100 mm-hmm. are going to say absolutely 100% yes. Yeah, sure. Certainly they will. And so this is the thing that binds all businesses together. Trust is the fundamental building block of all business. And so when you lean into the principle and say, okay, when you obsess over questions, worries, fears, concerns, frustrations, all these things, and you address them somehow, some way, that makes you that voice of trust,
right.
that trusted company. And that is timeless. That's not going away. When you're obsessed with the way buyers think, the marketplace doesn't pass you by.
Mm.
Industry doesn't pass you by. Because unlike Kodak, you're not sitting there saying, but we invented this stuff.
Right.
Dumbest line ever, right?
Right.
You're saying, gosh, we better replace what we're doing because people want it to be faster. They want it to be easier. Do they want to buy a film every time? No. But that's what they were. They were a film company.
Mm-hmm.
And because they didn't have a different paradigm about what they were, they're a classic mm. study of failure and yeah. not success. They lost touch with the marketplace. Their innovation stopped because they stopped obsessing over what buyers really want. And they no longer were that voice of trust.
That's exactly right. And there's so many examples of that.
Oh, so many, bro. Because the leaders of the previous generation are always slowest to adopt what comes and adapt to what comes next, right?
Yes.
Classic example there is Henry Ford. Henry Ford, at one time, crazy innovative, right? He says, well, if I did what all my customers wanted, I would have come up with a faster horse, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of his famous, you know, right. lines.
Right.
And then his other famous line, which people celebrate, and is actually what cost Ford and almost like they lost their business from it, is when he said, you can have any color you want as long as it's black. Mm-hmm. Now it's for the Model T, if you recall.
Yep.
Now, guess what? That meant his pride and arrogance was growing. He was no longer thinking, I need to evolve with the marketplace, listen to what they want, frustrations, etc. Now he was more thinking about, we've been doing it this way for this long, and it's worked. It's what's gotten us here. It's what's always going to get us there. No, that is not true. And it's becoming less and less true the more we're thrust into this digital age where change is so freaking rapid, bro.
Yes.
It's crazy rapid.
Yes.
So, which means we have got to be obsessing all the time about these things. And we should start with ourselves, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I came up with the framework of they ask, you answer, it was literally, I was like, okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the questions that I've been asked over the years, and I'm going to address them on my website. Boom. Right. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Been translated in multiple languages now, embraced by thousands of companies. I said, just take every question, worry, fear, concern you've ever been asked and address it on your website. Do it honestly. Do it transparently. You'll become the voice of trust.
That is so counterintuitive to so many people. And I'll put myself in that bucket. You know, when you step out and build a business and you're, you know, trying to find customers, clients, consumers, whatever you want to call them, the first thing people tell you is, oh, you got to protect your intellectual property because that's the cornerstone of the business.
Your secret sauce that Exactly. Everybody already knows is Thousand Island dressing, Jack.
Exactly.
That whole IP thing. People, yeah. IP. Yeah, right. Never seen this before. Man, I got to share one other quick story with you.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Now, not to beat this swim pool thing to death, but before we became a manufacturer of pools and we were just a dealer like everybody else, I remember saying one time, you know, I'm tired of saying we've got the best fiberglass pool shell on the market, best quality, but yet nobody's ever shown how these things are made.
Mm.
So I went one time to a big dealer meeting that we had at the plant of our manufacturer. And I was sitting there in the plant. I was looking at what they were doing. I'm like, I'm going to whip out my video camera right stinking now and start doing a video on this. So I started doing a video on it. And the owner of the company, CEO, just starts running out onto the plant like, oh my gosh, right? And he's like, whoa, wow, you can't record this. Whoa, Fowler, you can't record this. I'm like, why can't I record? He's like, we have very proprietary technology that you're seeing up there. I'm like, dude, I've been to 4 manufacturing plants other than yours. Let me tell you, I've seen that technology on every single one.
Right.
This ain't no different. You ain't special. Yeah. But if you show it, you will be special.
Mm.
This is how people think. Mm. And it's still true.
Yeah.
In 2021,
yeah,
we're still acting like we have secret sauce when we don't. Listen, you might be Coca-Cola, you might be KFC, but 99.999% of us are not KFC and are not Coca-Cola.
Right, right. Yeah. And don't want to be.
Don't need to be.
In the broader context of how you do business. That's a great story and a very vivid example that, you know, I've lived myself and I've grown a bit to the point that I'm working on talking other people out of that mindset. But your phrasing and your analogy there is a perfect way to highlight the absurdity of it, which is essentially what I do for
it is absurd,
a living,
right?
Is, you know, just help people see the kind of absurdity of what they're too close to see.
It's that curse of knowledge, right?
It definitely is.
So close to it that you just miss the mark, man.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. I want to ask you one more quick question and then I'll let you get back to
innovating.
Yeah, to innovating. I want to ask you about advice. I know you're a speaker and you do workshops and you write books, all these things. And I know you're always offering your perspective, your expertise. But one thing I really like about your website and everything else is the transparency, but also how tactical you get with what to go do, how to be different, how to operate differently. You know, there's a lot of books and, you know, Simon Sinek has an amazing model, amazing framework. His books leave you a couple steps away from like actually going back to your desk and operating differently. And I feel like you kind of close that gap pretty well in your books and in your workshops. So talk to me about advice you would have for innovators.
Well, you know, it's funny when you're talking about that, Jared, people ask me all the time, Marcus, aren't you afraid you're giving away a little too much? And I will constantly tell clients, potential clients, when we're getting ready to engage, I said, now listen, you're just going to pay me to do what I've already shown you how to do in 10 different ways online. You think about that. It's because people take comfort in somebody grabbing their hand and walking them through sometimes what is the obvious, right? Now, does it lessen the learning curve? Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does. But when you act so matter of fact about it, yeah, of course it's out there. But the fact that I give it all away is what makes it so attractive. You know, there's a lot of speakers that don't allow their stuff to be recorded because they feel like, well, if it's recorded, nobody's going to want to see me live. I'm like, I want you to record me and I want you to show me to your grandmother and your grandmother's grandmother. Whatever you got to do, you go ahead and spread the word. How many times, if somebody is a Grateful Deadhead, how many times have they watched the very same act over and over and over? And each time, they're just enjoying it like it's the first.
Yep.
Right? And so when we release that and understand that that's actually not the way we provide value to the world, right? You give more away and you get more. And this isn't karma, which I believe is a good thing and a real thing. But this is just common sense.
Mm.
And the last thing I'll say about that is, you know, a lot of people have heard of the Geek Squad. They're that group that fixes computers.
Yeah.
They do a great job of teaching people how to fix their computers at home. Somebody went to the CEO of the Geek Squad one time and said, why are you cutting off your nose here? Like, you know, this is what you do. He said, don't you realize my number one customer is the person that tries to do it themselves? I'm like, dang, that dude, he gets it.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets it, baby.
Yeah.
There's always room on top. Always room.
This has been an amazing conversation. So many nuggets to take back and think about. I can't wait to link to all the great videos on your site in our show notes and let people know where to find you and find more about you and get their hands on these books. They Ask, You Answer, and The Visual Sale.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this too, make sure you follow me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty dang good follow on LinkedIn. That's where I live for the most part. If anybody listens to this and you got a personal question for me, you can email me personally, marcus@marcussheridan.com. But to your point, Jared, They Ask, You Answer where everybody should start. That's the book. It'll take what you think you know about marketing and it's going to flip it on its head. I promise you that.
I can't wait to continue to dive in. I'm not all the way through it, but I'm working through it, and it's been amazing already. And I appreciate your time, Marcus. Appreciate your energy. Appreciate your problem-solving view of sales and marketing, which I think a lot of us needed to hear because there's a lot of stigma around sales and marketing. And I think this conversation really revealed what it's really about, which is solving problems for customers. So thank you for being the ambassador that you are for that type of sales and marketing, and I appreciate your time.
My pleasure, brother. Thank you.
All right. Take care. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this week's show. You can drop us a line on Twitter at Outlast LLC, OutlastLLC, or follow us on LinkedIn where we're Outlast Consulting. Until next time, keep innovating, whatever that means.